Good morning. I'm Margot Hunt. I'm at the beautiful home of Helen Merritt here on Maddox Boulevard to interview her along with Ed Schemel, September 15th, 2007. Helen, good morning. You're a native Chincoteaguer.
I sure am.
And will you tell us a little bit about your early, where did you grow up here on Chincoteague?
I've been in Chincoteague all my life, 80 years that is.
Congratulations.
Just made it in July. Well, I was raised on the south end of the island called Down the Marsh. And, of course, going to school, then I met my husband, Paul. Mm-hmm. And he lived on the north end. But we met in school, high school. I didn't know him in grammar school. And then we were married in 1943. We lived 61 years together and had a wonderful life. But he passed away 2 years ago. But I've had we had a lot of good times, and mostly good times, because Paul enjoyed life. And we liked to travel, and we did so many things together. And we had this one son, Greg, who you met. And we had two grandchildren. And I don't know what else to say except that it's all been good.
I'm glad. I bet you miss him.
Oh, my, yes.
Now, did you go to grammar school down in the south end? Was there a separate grammar school?
No, it was right here on Church Street. Right, the old school is. That's where I went to school.
You went to the elementary school.
Well, there was a school, but in the back of it was an old wooden building. And we went in there, too, when we hit the fifth grade or fourth grade.
Is that the senior center now?
No, it was another building in back of it where they finally tore down.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I was in that brick building, too, at the beginning.
Now, where did Paul go to elementary?
Same place.
But you didn't know each other?
No.
Was he older?
Only 3 years. But, you know, we were sort of divided on this island. If you were on the north end or the south end, you really didn't know too many people on the other end, you know. We were talking about that yesterday. We were sort of like, we had our own neighborhoods, you know. Every neighborhood had its own grocery store. We had little grocery stores all over the island. And so we stayed in our own little world, you know. I guess they didn't like us and we didn't like them, maybe. I don't know. But that's the way it was. We were in our own little groups. Ridge Road, Rattlesnake Ridge, and Snotty Ridge. You know, it was all different sections. And it was just so different. But, of course, we're all one big family now.
Now, how did you get around in those early days when you were young?
Well, my father always had a car some way. He was a waterman, but he always had a car. Now, Paul didn't have a car. A lot of the young people didn't have cars then. We walked. I mean, he walked from this north end to my place down south end. He would walk, and we'd go to town, and then he'd walk me home, then he had to walk back. So he's one had it so hard. But, and then my father always had a car, and like I say, we were all, I guess you might say we were all poor, but we didn't know it, because there was no, you might have had two or three people in the community that was, you thought were wealthy, which they had more money than we had, but very few, and that's the way we were, and we had all our needs. I never remember being hungry or cold. Or without clothes, food. We had plenty of food because my grandfather lived with us. He raised a garden. We had all that. They raised pigs. They raised their own chickens. We had so much, you know, that. And of course, my father worked on the water. And we had seafood galore, and I didn't even like it then. But I ate anything. I was never a picky eater. And I still love seafood. But we had a good life, and in the summertime, this channel over here, my father was a foreman on Assateague for the man that owned the oyster grind over there. And he would take a boat from over here on this side, and pulled across. There was no motors. He pulled across there every morning to go to work and came back home at noon. But in the summertime, this is where the fun began for us. In the summertime, we would go to the beach with him because we had a big old Coast Guard station that was just not used, and we lived in it. Beautiful old big home.
Can we see that still? Is that the same one we see?
No.
Okay.
No. And I only played, only thing, the only way I can remember it where it is on acetate, where it was. When you turn into the pony trail, the first trail, there's a big, and I think might be covered with grass and weeds now, there's a big, what we call a big cistern, where they got their water. That's where we got our water. That's where the house stood. And that's the only way I can remember where acetate, where we lived on acetate. And right back in there, they had a, one of those benches we had made for my father. Had his name on it. Of course, my brother and I, we were back, I guess maybe 10, 12 years old, I don't know, but we were just thrilled to death. We loved it. We had chickens and horses and everything you could want, a child, you know. My sister was different. She was older, and she was in with the boys, and she hated it because she didn't want to be away from home, and she wanted to be home having a good time. And she would stay home with my grandmother most of the time. She didn't like it. But we'd get a friend to come over with us, and we could play. Oh, we had lots of things to do. It was great. Real fun.
Did you ever go to the mainland?
Very little. Pocomoke. We would go to Pocomoke. And when it came Christmas time, I remember my mother and father. We'd go shop for four of us. And they would Christmas shop there Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. To Pocomoke and come home, and my grandmother kept us while they went shopping, and then come home and no heat in that living room. You know, the living rooms were just parlors, and go in that cold room, and she finally got us in bed and trim a tree. We didn't see our tree till the next morning. Wow. So It's been a great experience, I guess. But it's been a good one. I'm so glad I've lived in these times, because I think I've seen the best of it, and this might be the worst of it.
Why do you say that?
Well, things are so bad all over the country. You know, it's just terrible. And cruel things that we never even thought about. You know, doing to people and hurting everybody and killing them. But I'm glad I lived in this time.
You had a happy childhood.
Oh, yeah.
And when you went to the mainland, how did you get there?
Car.
By car. You had a car.
Now, before my time, my mother and father, when they wanted to go to the mainland, they had to go by boat.
Mm-hmm.
See the ferry. Took them across the Greenback.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember that.
You think they'll ever put that ferry back?
No. We're too advanced now. I don't think you'll ever see that anymore. No. But it was, I guess it was a chore for them to get anywhere to do anything. In fact, that's where my mother and father were married, on the boat going. They went over to Greenback there to be married.
Now, you and Paul were married. What year were you married?
43.
And then Paul, what was his business?
He had so many business. He went in the service for like 3 years. That wasn't the thing for Paul. He wasn't happy. He stayed on the West Coast and overseas. He never got back to the East Coast. So I think that just disheartened him. So he came out. In the meantime, he had worked. When he came out then, he was working for over here at the base when the Navy was so big. He was comptroller over there. And, of course, then you know what happened there. The government comes along and closes that down.
Wow.
So, but he had already started a part-time insurance business and had a big, it was pretty good size built up. We were doing it right out of our own. And, so he said, well, they wanted him to go to California when the base left. And he said, no, we're not going to leave. So he said, I'll just go on into my insurance business now. So he went down to, rented a, in the back of the firehouse is an office back there. I think the town used it at one time too. And he had a little office back there. A great big sign out front, Nationwide Insurance. And stayed there till after the storm of 62. The water went in there, so, I mean, it took all of his equipment, all of the desk, it was just over everything. And he tried to clean up what we could. We had a man go in and try to clean up some of the equipment, but he lost a lot. So he stayed, I don't know how many years he stayed there, but wasn't too many years after that. I'd say around 65. He said, I want a place of my own. So we came up here, and on that corner, he built that.
The corner of Maddox and Depot Road.
Where I had my shop now, Penny Banana Farm. That's where he started again. So then in the meantime, he sold mobile homes. We went to Pennsylvania and got in, fell in love with these miniature horses. We just went to look, and he said, you know, that's something we could do at home. We could have a miniature pony farm just like this. Huge thing. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but it's nice in Gettysburg. So we got into that. Bought all these miniature horses, didn't know a thing in the world about miniature horses. And brought them home. At the time, my mother still had an old chicken house down there because they used to raise chickens down on South Main. And at the time, it was empty. That's where we took these, all these ponies till we could get the barn built. And
so you attached the barn to your and your horse farm to the Nationwide Insurance business?
Well, no. That's a different, you know where it is now. You see where the, well, Crystal, my granddaughter, has the Cat Zacks.
Yes.
Carry out. All right. And the building next to, across from it, is now the flower shop.
Uh-huh.
All right. That was, I went in there with a shop.
I see.
And the barn was in the back.
I see.
I just had that torn down about 3 years ago.
I see.
Because it was getting so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, that was an interesting thing. And then we had all of the Misty family ponies. See, in the meantime, the Beebes had died. Ralph Beebe died. His wife couldn't care for him. And she asked if we want Misty and all the ponies. So we said, of course, we did. So we took all of them, too. So we must have had about 35 animals to feed and care for. But, so we got into, it was really nice. We enjoyed it because Paul loved animals. And we had a little shop in the front, like where that flower shop is. And we sold tickets for like $2 or $3 to go in and see all the horses. And Paul learned, we had a German fellow to come and train them. And Paul learned to do the shows himself. And he showed every day. We had like a couple of shows in the afternoon.
And what did the shows consist of?
These horses could do tricks and just little things. You know, they could stand on a box, and he'd talk to them, and they'd shake their head at him, you know. He just loved these horses to death. And then we had the Misty that did it too, one of Cloudy, which was a grandson of Misty. And he was a ham. He could show. And it was just a good thing, and we had a lot of families, you know. It was family-type children, and everybody enjoyed it. And he did too. He enjoyed it as much as I did.
Did the children ride the ponies ever?
Yeah, once in a while we'd have let them ride a little one. Yeah, not too much. There was a lot going on then. That was needed. We felt like it was needed here on the island because they'd go to the beach sometimes and never see a pony, you know. And they could come there and see them all.
Mm-hmm.
And they were thrilled with that. And that was, it was rewarding. But
were some of these miniature ponies, or were they all regular-sized ponies?
No. They were miniatures from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
They were a different breed entirely.
I see.
About, I don't know what you call it, maybe 32 inches high or something. And you know, I was always petrified of horses. I was the only one in my family that didn't ride. My sisters rode, my two brothers rode, my father. They were always in the roundup and all this. And I was just petrified of them. I remember getting on. The one and only time I remember getting on, I wanted to get on, get my picture taken so that I could think I was riding too. And when that horse began to move, I like to have, and I screamed, and my father said, "Get off and don't get on anymore," and I didn't. But when we got these miniatures, I got real brave. If he could have seen me in the stalls with these ponies, he'd never believe it. And they can hurt you too. Some of them were kind of wild, so kind of bad. But I just felt like they were my size. But I never did ride. They all rode but me. I liked them and wanted to see them, but I never wanted to be on.
Now, Paul was famous for another thing. He was a famous town councilman.
He ran for town council about the time while he was down at the firehouse in the insurance business. And he was still working for the Navy. And he got vice mayor, and he was going to run for mayor. But at that time, of course, we were staunch Democrats, and we're in a Republican town. They always supported Paul, regardless of party, you know, it didn't matter. But when he decided he was going to run for mayor, some of those staunch Republicans, at the time, you could not hold a government job and run for town office. Some way, I don't know if it was a law or what it was, but that was what was going on. So some of these men made remarks, and they were older men, that they would cause him to lose his job if he did it. So he had to back off.
Wow.
He would have been mayor. He would have loved it. But, and shortly after that, he got into supervisor, and of course he remained in that for 32 years.
Isn't he the longest running supervisor that we've ever had?
And I think he's the longest, and I have asked my lawyer to look this up for me. I think he's the longest running a candidate in the county for any position.
Wow.
Any elected position.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know of another one, and I've even written, and I put a piece in the paper one time to ask if anybody knew any different, would they please contact me? But I've never heard. And my lawyer said, Linwood Lewis, who is a delegate, said he would look into it, but he never has.
Well, he's busy himself.
Yeah,
now.
he is. But I think Paul was the longest ever that I know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in with some of the older men when he got there. In fact, they called him boy because he was the youngest one that had ever been on the board. Yeah. It offended him, I think. He said, he told one of the old ones, and he said, I got elected to this job, and I don't want you calling me boy anymore.
Good for him.
But he got along with all of them. He had a great time. Of those 32 years.
Well, can you think of any of his major accomplishments during those days?
Well, he was in on when they first got the Orchard Museum. He helped with that. With both schools, we got our schools. He was fighting for that.
Mm-hmm.
The Civic Center, he went through a lot with that because it was a lot of opposition on that.
Yeah.
They didn't want it. A lot of the older people said, no, we didn't need it, and that was just money. And he said, but he tried to get it across that if we didn't do it, the county would, and they would get it all. Whereas he thought we should be in it and let the town derive money from
mm-hmm.
it. So mm-hmm. he stuck it out, so we did get it. And that he and Donald have worked together mm-hmm. on that real close. So I don't know. Paul, he's into so much on that board. He's been on every committee almost he'd been on. And it was a lot of work. It got to be a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
See, when he first went on, it was only five of them, I think. And they met once a week, once a month, you know, and regular business. But it got so Paul was going to Accomack, oh my dear, several times a week.
Mm-hmm.
It was meet
yeah,
all the time. But he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. But he got off in 1995. And he said, he told him he wasn't going to run anymore. And I said, I can't believe this, you know. And I said, are you sure this is what you want to do? And he said, yes. And I'm just thankful that he had the knowledge then to know
that it was time to stop.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He must have been very smart and very able.
He was.
Yeah.
In fact, some of them, they hated to admit it, but someone did say finally down the county, one of the older gentlemen that was on, he said he's the smartest damn thing ever come on the board. But Paul did have a lot of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He's self-educated.
Mm-hmm.
He never went to college. He was going, but then he decided not to just go in business. But he took college courses. I think from not long ago, where he took this LaSalle University, he took a course. And they would write very good, excellent. It was perfect, you know, what he could have done in college.
Yeah,
you know.
Wonderful.
But
I thank heavens we had him here.
Yeah. He did just as well with that education, I think, you know. Now, some people, I think, maybe they need it. I don't know. He learned so easy, you know. Paul could look at anything, and he knew it. Where I had struggled for it, you know. But
now, what was your life like there? You've talked a lot about Paul. What was your life like? You were interested in a lot of things. You're smart too.
No, I'm not that smart. Of course, he was all in politics, so I got involved in that. They wanted me to run for. They said, you should run for one this job. I said, no, thank you. 80 years old, don't belong in office. I was very, but I've been active in my church.
Which church is that?
Union Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught Sunday school for about 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Third grade, second grade children.
Mm-hmm.
And loved it. But you know, your time comes that you... They need younger blood. So we got out, me and my friend here, both of us putting it together. And I think you know when it's time, you know. And I still like a mixture of the old with the young. I don't think everything needs to be turned over to young people. I think some of the experience of older people is very important.
Very valuable.
Right.
I agree.
And I know a lot of times they don't believe it, don't want to listen at us, but I think that's what it should be.
Now, what are you thinking about? What do you see as the most important improvements that have been made on Chincoteague?
Well, I don't know.
In the West.
I don't know what to say about that.
The bridge to Assateague.
Well, yes, that was a big thing. Now, a lot of the local people don't think so because they don't like tourists. A lot of the older people don't like tourists. Well, we were in business involved. We needed tourists, you know. But not only that, it was good. It was a good thing that we could, because a lot of us, people that didn't own boats never got to Assateague. And, we were thrilled about that bridge. Yeah, I was. And it's just so many things now that we don't like. It's too much building. The way we feel that it's not going to be livable for our children and grandchildren. Prices have gone so rocket, you know, that they're not going to be able to afford to stay here without help. If they got help in their family, okay. Otherwise, they'll not be able to. And, of course, I don't like all these condominiums. You know, we're just so sick of condominiums. And if that's the way of life, that's the way it's going to be. And I'm not worried about it. Even this bridge made me sick. I didn't want that bridge here on this street, naturally. But I thought... Well, you know, I'm not going to be around much longer here. I'm 80 years old. It's not going to matter a whole lot to me. But I do worry about what's going to happen to my grandchildren. I don't know. But changes are not for older people.
hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Because we've had such a good life here that it's a lot of it's been disrupted, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not the same. But that's prosperity. And anywhere you see tourism move in, and we have to have it now, because that's all we have left.
Mm-hmm.
The water's gone. Nobody can make a living on the water like we used to. Nobody can raise chickens like they used to. So tourism has to be now. We have to depend on it. And I'm not mad about it. I really like a part of it. I like dealing with the public. And I've had a good little business. It's more like a hobby to me now because I open when I want to. In the summer months now, I'm closed now. And I open maybe pretty weekend. I'll go down a weekend. I had a good weekend this weekend because the cyclists were here, you know. But otherwise, it's like a hobby to me. I don't have it to do, thank goodness. A lot of these people, it is bad in the winter months. It's a struggle.
Yeah.
Because they have to pay their rent and all just the same.
Sure.
And like my granddaughter went in this carry-out seafood, she couldn't have done it without me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had the land, I had the building. She couldn't go on out and rent a building.
Mm-hmm.
All the expense that went into that.
How's she doing up there?
She's done, this is her fourth season.
Mm-hmm.
Really third. The first one we had a very short time because we fought so long with the health department getting things right, you know, that the summer was just back gone the first season before we got going. This has been her best season. This has been the first year that I can say she's really made a profit.
Now this is Captain Zach Seafood. Now her grandfather was a waterman.
Uh-huh.
And where is she getting her seafood now?
Well, I'll tell you, she gets all she can local.
Mm.
But, of course, a lot of this stuff now comes from Cisco, you know, what people, all the restaurants have. But she does have a lot of local stuff. She gets her scallops here. She gets her oysters and her clams. And it's local stuff. Now, when you get those oysters from here, they're so different from anywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
And she's noted for good seafood, and she's noted, it's been word of mouth because we didn't have a lot of advertisement. And she's just beginning to get some advertisement. Couldn't do so much, but I'm her partner, and advertising's gotten so high that we couldn't do it so much. But she did get a sign on the causeway, which she says she might give that up because that's gone up so high now. But she got one over on the beach road, finally. All the property I have here, and I own another piece of property at the end of those little shops of Cruno's down there. I got a piece of property there on the end of that. And I thought that's a perfect place for a sign for her. She needs to be out here. She's just far enough off the beaten path. You'd be surprised who don't know she's there.
Mm-hmm.
Ride by. But you know they wouldn't let me put a sign on it. And I don't understand that part. We had to go to court once over a sign because I wanted her sign out on my corner where I could see it going to the beach. And we had heard that we thought that the law was anything was on wheels, you could put it anywhere. You're moving it, you know. So she went and took we had a big one of those big neon signs with the arrow, but we weren't going to use the arrow. You're not allowed to use them, I don't think. But she, by herself, put that up on a cart. She had a cart. She put that up on a cart on the back of her truck and put that out there in my lot. And, of course, Kenny came along, and we had to go to court because we wouldn't move it that weekend. We said we had always heard that this was on wheels. You could do it. Well, anyway, we couldn't. We paid that little fine and court charge. The judge took it easy on her. Wasn't too bad, but it was the principle of it. When you own all this land and you can't do anything for your own self, I don't think the town treats us right on that. And I've complained, but it don't do any good. I got a piece of property there runs from that trailer park all the way down to the corner. and I'm not allowed to put another sign on my property for another business.
Oh, just one for Captain Jack's?
Well, she just where she is, but she can't put nothing over where I am.
Oh, I see.
But I own it all.
Hmm.
And I just didn't understand it, but that's the way it goes, you know. You got so many rules and regulations now that we used to not have. And maybe some are good. I don't know. Not all are good. And I've been to the town council many times, and I've told them, all I ask you is to treat everybody alike. And then you wouldn't have these problems. But that, I'm sorry to say, but it's not done. It's not done. Some things I have seen done, well, they built in marshes. You don't hear a thing about wetlands anymore.
I was going to ask you about the wetlands off Depot Road. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Now, who's doing that, I wonder?
I think Gene Wayne. They tell me he bought that property. I don't know. But you don't hear anything about wetlands anymore.
Why not?
And people got fined for that. They filled it in. And they had to go dig it all out again. And now you don't hear any more about it. I don't know. I don't understand a lot of this stuff. But I wouldn't advise anybody to go in a small business today.
You would not?
Uh-uh.
And why is that?
It's been so many headaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been through with the health department, the town, there were signs and lines, and it's just been one thing after the other. And finally, I guess we're all straight now. But I still can't use anything on that corner. They come put signs on there for everything the Civic Center has. They just come put signs up there. I did give them permission in the beginning, and now they don't ask. They just come do it. But they can do that because it's a non-profit.
Really?
They're making money at the Civic Center. So these are things that, you know, I'll never understand. But anyway, I think we've got it conquered that she has got some advertisement on this beach road. I don't need it. I told her, I said, I don't need the advertisement. I could take mine down and just, you know, I don't have any. All I have is up on my building now. But
now your son is quite famous as well. Talk a little bit about
well,
him.
Well, he is. If it's sports, yes. Anything else, he's not interested in talking to you. His father carried him to ball games, New York Yankees fans. They have been all our lives. And every time he could get to New York or Baltimore, wherever they were playing, he and his father went. And
you never went?
No.
You weren't interested?
I had been one time, I think. No, I never. I wasn't that much into it. I am on the TV, and I love to watch World Series. And of course, I have to root for Yankees. That's all I've ever done. but he remembers all this, the places his father took him, and the things they did together, which was good for a father and a son.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was the homebody, really. I kept the home fires burning. And I'm so glad that he had that time with his father.
Mm, sure, it's wonderful. Now, he's a very good writer.
Well, that was his major in college, the journalist. And I thought, well, that's what he'll ever do with it. Well, then he went teaching school. He taught sixth grade, which was a bad grade to put a new one, young fella in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't take it. He stayed a couple years, but he said the children then were getting out of hand. And he said he just felt like he wanted to pop them upside the head, you know, and he knew he couldn't. So he said, it's time for me to get out of this, but he couldn't do that. So they called him to the radio station, or the news, and he started there, and he's been there now, I guess he's been there 12 or 14 years.
This is the Eastern Shore News.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he has the Beacon and whatever. Sports is his thing. He travels all over the ball games. I mean, he really covers these teams. Wherever they go, he goes.
That's terrific.
And he goes, his first 2 years of college was from University of Virginia because at that time, we had the branch where the Navy base is.
I didn't know that.
He got 2 years out of University of Virginia, which was great. And then when they merged, they went into community college. He gave, you know, that disband. Then he went over to Norfolk and finished his other 2 years. But so he's partial to the University of Virginia, naturally. And he goes to a lot of their games. And his son now that he has is into, he's not into it like he is, but he pushes him in it. I think he would love for him to be into everything that sports did, because he was in school. He was a great runner. He broke a record, track record. And we used to have these field meets down at Cal Fair, and he broke track record of running some of those relays. And it's funny, because when he was in high school, and Tommy Fultz was the principal, and he was a good friend of ours too, and he fussed with Greg over something one day, and he said, "Your father was such a good man. He was such a good sport. He even broke a record, you know." And he looked at him and said, "I think the only record my father broke is the kind you play on." But he was a good sport, so Greg fell right into it.
Explain again about the UVA here at Walsh.
They had a branch over here at UVA, and even had housing over there. You see those little houses that's still there? When you go back in there, they back fall down at one time. I've not seen them lately.
I thought those were Navy houses.
Yeah. Well, they were built for Navy. But they acquired, somehow they let them have them for housing.
And what years would that have been, roughly?
Well, let's see. Greg got out of school in 70s. He was in the 70s. And we were just thrilled to death that it was right here under our nose, you know.
Yeah.
And because he went over there and stayed in their little dorm. And that broke my heart. I didn't want him over there, because that was at the time long hair was beginning with boys, you know. And I looked, and his roommate came with his long hair. I thought, oh my God, what are we in for? And now if that's all they did, that would be fine. So then he transferred, when that was gone, he went over to Virginia Wesleyan. Mm-hmm. And that's where I graduated from. Mm-hmm. But the sport has just been in his life always, ever since he could hold a ball, and that's all he's known. He never could play football. He was too small. He tried. He went out for the JVs, and he tried, and we used to take it. There was a friend of mine, and her boy could play, and mine was so small, he'd take safety pins and pin all his stuff on it, you know. But he only got there to the JVs. He wasn't, he couldn't play football, but he was a good baseball player. He played shortstop and right field, and he was a good sport. And he just loves sports. It's his life.
You must have gone to see him at some of those
games. Oh, I went to all the games. Because then his father couldn't go to all the games because he was working for the Navy. See? And he couldn't always come home. So me and my friend down there, she had a boy in it too. We went to all the games. Yes, we did. And I said, I guess talk about distraction. We'd go down the county and play. And I thought, you know, when that little boy was killed, that mother had five kids in that car. Mm-hmm. I felt for her, because I said, I just know, you know, she could have had some distraction in there with five boys, because I've had it. I've been to a game, and on the way home, they'd be fighting in the back seat or punching and in the floor. I'd pull off to the side and get them all straightened out. She could have had that thing. I could feel it, you know, mm-hmm. distraction that I had.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a bunch of kids together and coop them up in a car, you know.
Never know.
I was with all his games, and then Paul was whenever he could. But he's the one got him started in it.
You've had a terrific life, haven't you?
Yes, I would say.
You're wonderful.
Yes.
I think we've made you talk long enough.
Well, I guess I'm a great talker, as you say, and I don't mind talking.
It's wonderful.
I don't like get out in public or nothing like that. But
I've heard you at council.
Well, I get a little riled up about something. But, see, Paul groups people didn't bother Paul. He didn't care how big the crowd was. But it does me. It unnerves me. I can't. I think later, well, I wanted to say so-and-so, and I didn't say it.
I know.
You either got a gift for that or you haven't. And he came from a family that did. We call them the Tar family, and they all talk. They were just talkers. Do you know Mabel Liscombe?
Yes.
Okay. That's his cousin. She's a talker.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, if you want to talk to anybody, you should talk to Mabel. She's great to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
She's been here. Her birthday is, I think, 2 days. She'll be 93 years. I believe 93 or 94. She's seen a lot, too. A lot more than I have.
Well, I want to thank you very much for letting us visit with you this morning.
Well, I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. We appreciate you.
I wish if it was more good things to talk about now. I don't know too much good right now. It's good to be alive. It's just good to be alive, you know.